Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Well, Stephen, it's been a pretty remarkable summer. Did you finally get a moment on Saturday evening or Sunday to take a breath, to stop, to appreciate what you've achieved?
Yeah, a little bit of time. We'd a little bit of downtime in Dublin on Saturday night, and obviously we're staying up to watch the Dublin Tyrone game. So just a little bit of switch off time maybe on Saturday night, and that was about it.
When we spoke on Saturday after the game, you were probably biting your tongue a bit when it came to the criticism, and it's perfectly understandable at this time of the year that you don't want that to become the headline. But over the past couple of weeks, with some of the criticism, which was incredibly harsh, some of the things that were written about the management team, is there a personal toll to that?
Maybe there will be in the off season, but genuinely, don't have time to sort of labour on those bits. Some of it we probably aren't even aware of now. You through the qualifiers, and I suppose to a 9-game campaign, including the 2 Connacht Championship games, you sort of become very much in your own bubble, and you know, very much focused on what the next game is, what the next replay is, and you probably, and I'm not sure if I said it the last day, it's probably family and friends that get more affected by it. And
yeah, I do wonder on that, but even from yourself and the other coaching staff, where you're going into work on Monday or Tuesday morning, people you manage, people who manage you, they're reading the papers, your family are reading the papers, that it's... Do people look at you a different way almost, and let's not mention this?
Yeah, possibly. I have to say, like, that, you know, colleagues at work are quite respectful, you know, and very supportive as well, I suppose, through your own, you know, professional sort of achievements. You sort of probably, they're in a position to probably be able to say it. They're able to make up their own minds whether we're donkeys or not. But, you know, certainly, you know, the week leading from the drawing game to the replay, we just had a heavy workload, you know, from a reviewing the tape, you know, assessing what went well, what needed more work, and trying to mentally and physically prepare the team for a challenge within 6 days. Doesn't allow you any time, and I think if you did, you certainly would be not allowing yourself to perform to your own top level, and in that you could say then that would automatically affect the team as well.
I don't know if you'd spoken to previous Mayo managers or other inter-county managers when you were taking over the job, and obviously you've experienced at a high level, at club level, but the level of interest in Mayo, like I think back to before last year's All-Ireland final and Lee Keegan and all the stories that were written about him, the reaction to the decision to change goalkeeper, all the conversations that have gone on as the summer's gone, does it come as a surprise?
Well, I suppose James Horan is probably the most relevant manager that has sort of come under the microscope, and I think a lot of that has been is driven now by what the amount of social media that's out there. You're no longer dealing with maybe, you know, your 5-10 journalists that were probably the norm maybe back 8 or 10 years ago. It's, you know, you have 100,000 journalists now with 140 characters, you know. So, but at the same time, you just can't allow yourself to be distracted by it. I think you got to remain focused. That's, you know that coming into the job. The level of scrutiny that's on the team. You know, it isn't surprising in some ways, but probably when you're getting to the last four and there's only 4 teams to talk about, or you're in the last 2, there's only 2 teams to talk about, you know, I suppose it probably comes with the territory.
One of the reasons, I think, as well, is that there's so much interest is that people around the country feel that they know the players, that they've all been in the media for 5, 6, 7 years. They've done a lot of interviews. We've seen the best of them. We've seen the worst of them. It's been a lot quieter, it seems, this summer. within the camp. There haven't been many interviews. I don't know if there was a media ban or if it was just everyone was keeping their head down and it was the relentless nature of the games. Is that a difficult balancing act for you? Because there's a lot of big characters in there, a lot of lads who are very comfortable talking to the media, Andy Moore and Aidan O'Shea, you name them. They're all comfortable in front of the camera to say, let's just hold back a little bit.
Yeah, well, look, I think, you know, typically we have a policy that we just don't do media the week of a game. So I think when you end up doing qualifier games back to back and then you throw in replays, you know, the scope then for media nights or those sort of interviews aren't there. I think other points of the group have just been very focused on what we want to achieve. You know, our levels of performance weren't as consistent or at the standard that we would set for ourselves, and that we knew that we need to maintain a focus on the pitch and getting that level of performance that we expect from each other to a high enough standard. And there was that's certainly where we've been keeping our eye on, and it's not a case that there's been a media ban or anything like that, but you know, we're at the stage where probably, as you said, a lot of people have done their bit with media over the year, and that, you know, we're very much looking at trying to do as much talking as we can, be it on the field.
Was there any stage over the summer where you were seriously worried about your position in the Championship, where you thought during the Cork game or during the Derry game, where you thought, this is out of our control now?
No, look, there's a yes and no to that. I did think possibly in the Derry game that, you know, we were creating a lot of chances and just we weren't converting them, and that, God above, is this going to be just one of those evenings? Like, I mean, we kicked 18 wides that day, and I think we kicked, you know, 5 into the goalie's hands and 5 against the woodwork. So now all of a sudden we've had 28 shots as well as the ones we've scored. So, like, you know, that was frustrating, but it was that for the players as well. So on that evening, probably most that I sort of made a bit of a worry. But after that, whilst our performance, you know, was a bit like a heart monitor, it was up and down. There was times where I thought, you know, I was happy with what we were doing. After about 20 minutes of the Clare game, I thought we totally dominated that game. The first 50 minutes of the Cork game, you know, we performed quite well and had developed a gap. But then, you know, we were just snoozing off, and, you know, we were sort of not as respectful to the possession that was being won, and sort of thinking that, oh, there'll be another ball in a minute. And, you know, I'm sort of ad-libbing there a little bit as regards, you know, those, you know, what the thoughts were out on the field. But we're just coughing up a chance or two, and then we're being punished. The next thing, we found ourselves started trying to get a grasp back of the game, and certainly in the Cork game, you know, we just lost control for about a 4 or 5 minute period, and had the game been from a 7 point back to, you know, 3 points, then we controlled that game, and it was sort of right, we're keeping them at arm's length, and then we cough up a goal nearly with the last kick of the game. So, like, it was two moments sort of within the last 20 minutes where we sort of, you know, wouldn't be happy with it, but you know, that's sport as well.
They're probably the type of games that the cliches do come home to roost, that you have to give every opponent the same amount of respect, because all these players are so used to playing big games in Croke Park. Was there always a sense then that when you got back to Croke Park that you would feel back at home?
Well, I suppose the first thing is that, like, you know, it wasn't a case that started to disrespect the opposition, but, you know, each possession and just playing each ball as it comes, you know, that, you know, we coughed up the ball just easily in about 3 or 4 instances against Cork, and we were rightly punished for that. And in some ways that has been a reminder at a good point in the season to understand that you need to retain the possession well. And, you know, we didn't do that quite as well as we would liked against Roscommon, but then, you know, we've sort of got a lot better at that through the last 3 games, and you know, our levels of performance, I think, are reflective of that.
How do you work as a management group during a summer like this? Because it can't be like this in any other sport, really, where you've got a 3-month build-up to plan for the Galway game and think about how you want Mayo to line up, how Galway are going to line up. Next thing, you've got 5 days between another one. Now you're going into an All-Ireland final. You've got 2-3 weeks. You can watch 100 videos at Dublin if you want. How do you get into a workflow, a pattern of of how you prepare for a game?
Look, we've got, just got a really good working relationship. You know, Peter has joined the selection management team this year, but has been part of the Mayo setup over the last 5 or 6 years. So we've a very good working relationship. We each know areas that we're sort of responsible for, and you know what you need to be looking at. But I think just the focus on the next game coming quickly just keeps people really on their toes as regards the work ethic that's required.
Tony McEntee's influence, what was your thinking when you brought him into the coaching staff, and what has he delivered over the last year or so?
Look, I suppose, you know, his credentials, you know, they're quite obvious insofar as he's been a very successful player with both Cross McGlen and Armagh. There haven't been too many people standing in the Mayo dressing room that have won Celtic Crosses. So that as a player, that sort of respect that he has sort of achieved on the field, and then obviously his off-field achievements with Cross McGlen, getting and winning All-Ireland titles. I would have felt that, you know, in some of the media stuff that Tony had done, like, you know, certainly through the Examiner and that he was very astute in his reading of the games, and you know, it was somebody that wasn't going to be familiar to the group. He wasn't familiar with necessarily Mayo football, but as a spectator from a distance, and that again he would be a character that would challenge the group and challenge the management.
Is he obsessive about the way he goes around his business? The only reason I ask is we were up in Cross McGlen, I think it was in March, they were celebrating 20 years since their first club title, and it was incredible talking to the people of Cross McGlen about how it all came together. And you had this group of obviously you had the McEntees coming through, and Francie Bellew and McConville, but there was this real core group of 6 or 7 of them who never drank in their life, that the only thing they ever thought about from they were 6 years old was playing football and thinking about football properly, thinking, how can we get better? How can this club get better? That sort of attitude that he has, that's not quite unique, but it's pretty rare in this country.
Yeah, well, he's obsessed, I think, with, you know, being the best that you can be and playing to a high standard, and you know he's achieved very well in his own personal life, work, so he's a guy of high standards, and you know, he presents himself very well to the group, and they're all things that I think are really important in a modern team setup, management setup. Got people that can present their points, represent themselves and the management well, and you know that's very much Tony. And as you said, you know, the background and the development and what he would have learnt in around Cross McGlen, you know, those sort of characteristics that he's built there have certainly helped shape the management and this team over the last couple of weeks and months and years, maybe.
Your players have all spoken very well about being able to close themselves off from all the noise over the next few weeks. I just wonder, from your point of view, do you have concerns when you see what happened last year with the Lee Keegan situation and a lot of former Dublin players coming out questioning Lee Keegan ahead of the final and ahead of the replay, and ultimately they may feel they got the reward? Do you worry when it comes to this time of year that we might see something similar again, something that's completely out of your control?
And I think you've sort of hit the nail on the head there. It's outside your control. You know, look, I no doubt that there was, you know, or it was very, what's the correct word on this, sort of coincidental that it all seemed to happen in 1 week, that everybody had an opinion on how Lee Keegan played, and they all seemed to be former Dublin players at the same time. So, you know, and then he ends up picking up an unfortunate black card, you know, midway through the first half. So a lot of it seems very coincidental. But look, as you said, it's something that we don't look to get distracted by. We didn't feel that we were distracted by it last year. We just need to, you know, maintain a focus on, you know, what's going to happen within the white lines of the pitch, and you know, hopefully that the referee, whenever he's appointed, is a strong enough character to be able to deal with that.
What was your main takeaway from Dublin on Sunday?
Man, they're very, you know, it's you know, they're very controlled. They've quality all over the field. You know, a lot of people know. You know, talking between different people here, even this evening, you know, that they're the greatest Gaelic football team of the modern era, and maybe of all time. I suppose if you base that on the level of competition that there is, maybe versus what the Kerry team of the late 70s, 80s maybe had came up against. And there is, you know, I think it's fair enough, there isn't any obvious weakness from goalkeeper through to maybe 26 or whatever is the length of their squad. So in that, you know, that seems like a very formidable challenge, but it's one that's also very exciting, and it's one that, you know, certainly has us very much motivated to what that challenge can be. And look, there's no team that's unbeatable, and we'll see what the next 2.5 weeks will bring.
Yeah, I'm sure your team talk isn't going to be as simplistic as think back to the first game last year. If it wasn't for 2 own goals, if it wasn't for this freakish event, we would have beaten this side. At the same time, is it hard to get out of that mindset of, well, sometimes just freak occurrences happen. Sometimes you can try absolutely everything. You can get your decisions right. You can play to the best of your ability, and still sometimes it just doesn't happen for you.
That's sport. You know, sport isn't fair. Life isn't fair. So you just, you know, when we reflected on the 2016 season, we felt that we could get better. And, you know, we still feel that. We feel that we can be better on the 17th of September. And probably more importantly, we know that we have to be better if we're going to challenge. And if we compete to our very, very best, let's see what happens with the result.
Do you ever allow yourself a moment to think about what Sunday night will be like in City West or wherever it is, what Monday night will be like back in Castlebar?
Nathan, you're a Mayo man. We've all had those moments. Haven't had much time to think of them as a Mayo manager. But look, of course, you know, the place could go crazy. But that'll be, if we're fortunate enough, if we get the bit of luck, if we play well, but we need to put all those bits together and put them into the cooker and see if we can bake the right level of performance. And but look, as I already alluded to, it's a very exciting opportunity. It's a very exciting challenge.
Best of luck with it.
Cheers. Thanks, Nathan.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.